Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and happy Easter. We continue in the season of Easter together as a congregation, continuing to celebrate the good news of Jesus' resurrection and hearing the stories in worship of the very first days of the church. This morning, we find ourselves once again in the book of Acts, hearing how the love of God continued to spread and the church grew in those early days of the church. And here we are 2,000 years later, gathered for worship and celebration. It's my joy to welcome you this morning, and especially if you're visiting with us, to issue a special word of welcome. We hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place and that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you this morning. One of the ways that helps us do that is to sign in on the registration pads. They're at the end of each row, and our visitors are invited to sign on the yellow sheets and members on the white sheets. And if you are visiting with us and would be willing to share an address or an email address, that will give us a chance to be in touch with you and let you know some of the ways we're trying to spread God's love in our community. We have our directories. They're here. Our pictorial directories that we have been awaiting have arrived, and they are in Reed Hall on a table, and they are available for you to go and take one. And there is a stack also of portraits. I think everybody who had their picture made got a free portrait. So if you don't have yours, it may be in that stack, and it's in alphabetical order. So make good use of those directories to get to know one another and make some new friends in the days ahead. We are collecting diapers for Hope Clinic for Women, and there are bins downstairs, and we'll be doing that through Mother's Day, and they're especially in need of sizes 3, 4, and 5. So if you find yourself at the Walgreens or the Kroger, you grab a pack of those and bring them to the church, and that will make a big difference in the lives of families in our community. And finally, I wanted to let you know that Saturday, May 12th, is going to be a big recycling day in our church parking lot from 9 to noon. Opportunity to get paper shredded, to turn in old medications, old computers. The lists are in your insert, but it's a great service for our community and for our congregation. So make sure and mark your calendars for that. But now we are present in this place, ready to worship our God who has called us here. So let us take a moment to be fully present to the Holy Spirit who is already at work among us as we worship God together this morning.
Christ is arisen from his anguish and his pain. Now therefore let us all rejoice. Christ will be our consolation.
Thank you. Let us gather this morning to read scripture and witness the word proclaimed. Let us gather this morning. Let us gather this morning. What is to prevent us from worshiping in the presence of our God?
Now is the time to worship the Lord.
Let us now confess our sins before our merciful God in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart, or served you with all our strength. We have been blind to the vision of a renewed world and deaf to your call to costly discipleship. We have been indifferent to the suffering of others and unwilling to forgive another. In your mercy, Lord, pardon us and restore us, that together in the ministry of Christ, we may serve you with joy. Church, hear the good news. While we were still sinners, traveling on a wilderness road, Christ came to us and entered our hearts, showing us how to live and love. Church, you are loved, you are forgiven, be at peace. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come down to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Grown-ups can be seated, and any children of any age, make your way forward. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful to see all of you this morning. What a big group on a beautiful day. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Do any of you know what it feels like to be left out? I know what that feels like. I remember when I was in third grade, there was a girl in my class who had a birthday party. And two of my very best friends were invited to her birthday party, but I wasn't invited. And it felt really bad. It hurt my feelings. It hurts when we're not included, doesn't it? Well, we just heard a Bible story about a man who was left out. There was something about him that he wasn't allowed to worship in the temple. He'd made a big, long journey to go to the temple. And then he was told he couldn't come inside. So I imagine he was very sad and his feelings were hurt. But you know what? God went looking for him. God sent a man named Philip to go and find him and tell him all about Jesus and to tell him how much God loved him and to say to him, "You are included." And that makes me think that that's our job too. To tell people, to tell everybody that they're included and that God loves them too. So maybe when you are in school or on the playground or at home and you see someone who's feeling left out, or maybe somebody who's sitting by themselves or they don't have somebody to play with, maybe you can go over and say, "Do you want to play? Do you want to be friends?" and help them feel included, because that's what God wants us to do. What does included mean? It means that you are part of the party, that you get to come too, that God loves you too. So that's what we want to do for other people. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for loving us and for loving all people. Help us to do everything we can to be kind and generous to everybody, so that everybody will know how much you love them. We thank you for Philip, who carried that message to someone who was feeling lonely. Help us to be like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. For the past few weeks that I've been preaching, I've been drawn to the stories from the book of Acts. The official title of the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, because we hear stories about how those first followers of Jesus, that little band of Christians that was rooted in Jerusalem, began to spread the love of God and the message of God's love beyond the church in Jerusalem, and how the Holy Spirit pushed the circle of inclusion to Samaria and to Egypt and Ethiopia and throughout the Mediterranean world, until by the end of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul all the way in Rome. There are some who even say that the title should be different. It shouldn't be the acts of the apostles. It should be the acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the main character in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that is driving the church to grow and grow and grow. So when we come to this story we've just heard in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, the main character really is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who drives Philip to that wilderness road. It's the Holy Spirit that guides their conversation and finally gets to the point where this man feels led to ask for baptism. So the Holy Spirit is our main character this morning. But I want to know more about the supporting actors in the story, about these two men, Philip and the Ethiopian. What do we know about them? What a wonderful story and encounter this is. Who are these two men who were just meeting on the road to Gaza? Well, Philip is a new Christian. He's not Philip who was one of the 12 disciples that we get to know in the Gospels. No, this is a different Philip. He is a Greek-speaking Jew who has come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. And he is so filled with the Holy Spirit, so excited about this new faith in Christ that he's discovered, that he's willing to talk to anybody about it. Earlier in chapter 8, he goes to Samaria, of all places, and preaches the gospel. We know about the Jews and the Samaritans, right? They didn't like each other. They were two groups of people who tried to avoid each other. You would never eat at the same table with a Samaritan if you were a Jewish person. But here goes Philip, just full of the love of God, and he walks right into Samaria and starts talking about Jesus. And lo and behold, a lot of Samaritans pay attention, and they become believers. And it's as he's finishing up that ministry in Samaria that he gets the call of the Holy Spirit, go to this wilderness road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And he doesn't know why he's going. He just gets up and goes. And there he sees a man sitting in a chariot. Now, who is this mysterious stranger? We don't know his name. I wish we did. All we know about him are the labels that his culture have put on him. He is an Ethiopian, meaning he is a stranger. He's a foreigner who has come up to Jerusalem. He is from a faraway land in Africa. He is a eunuch. Now, we don't know his story, but most likely, at a young age, maybe as a child, his parents decided to dedicate him to the service of the queen of Ethiopia. And so at a young age, he would have been castrated and then educated so that he could serve in the court of the queen. And we know he's highly educated because he's reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He's been put in charge of the queen's treasury. So he is a man of great wealth, a man of great power. He's riding in his own chariot, for heaven's sake. He is a very influential man in Ethiopia. And for some reason, he has found himself drawn to the God of Israel. There were Jewish people who were living in Ethiopia, so maybe through his relationships with them, he had heard stories about God and had gotten curious and wanted even to worship this God. And so he goes to all the expense and all of the trouble to travel from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. Now, we don't know what happened, but here's what I think happened. He arrived at the temple in Jerusalem, and being obviously a foreigner, he would have been told by somebody along the way, well, you can go into the first part of the temple, you know, the courtyard of the Gentiles, but you can't go any further into the temple. You can't go into the inner circle where the Jewish people are allowed. And then by the time he got to the door, when someone realized he was a court official and that he was a eunuch, he would have been told, sorry, you can't come in at all. You see, it says in Deuteronomy 23 that one who is a eunuch is not allowed in the assembly of God's people. So here we have this man who's made this long trip, who is hungry for God, who wants a relationship with God, and the door is slammed in his face because of who he is, because of something about himself that he cannot change. And so he gets back in his chariot, and he starts to make his way home. I wonder if it was then that he bought the scroll of Isaiah. He must have had a lot of money to be able to buy a scroll for himself, but that was his only link with God. And so he's reading this prophet Isaiah to try to understand it, and he's all by himself. There's no community to help him. There's nobody who's willing to claim him except for God. God has seen how this man was rejected at the door of the temple, and God sends Philip to chase him down, to find him and tell him a different story. And so you heard how it happens. Philip runs up to the chariot. Oh, bless Philip's heart. He's so enthusiastic. He just runs up to the chariot, and they start talking, and the man invites him in to sit with him in the chariot. And they start talking about the scriptures, and Philip starts telling him about Jesus. And lo and behold, the man believes. And then he gets to this moment that just about breaks my heart, when he turns to Philip and says, "What is to prevent me from being baptized? Is there something about me, Philip, that would keep me out of this community of faith? Am I worthy to be baptized? Am I okay? Will you include me?" And Philip doesn't even say a word. He takes the man's hand, and together they jump into the water, and Philip baptizes him. And the man's life is transformed, and the church is transformed. The church is now planted in Ethiopia, and the Ethiopian Christian church is one of the oldest in all the world because, I think, of this man's witness. That's what we're called to do, my brothers and sisters. That moment where Philip takes this man and together they jump into the waters of baptism, where Philip says with his actions, "You are worthy, you are included, come with me." Some of you may be familiar with the music of Mark Miller. He's a contemporary composer in our United Methodist denomination, and he's written a lot of anthems and hymns that speak into our world as it is today. One of my favorite songs of his is called "Draw the Circle Wide." I don't know if you've heard it, but "Draw the circle wide," he says. "Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. We'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide." That's our job as the church today, my friends. To draw the circle of God's love and God's grace wider and wider, just as it's drawn in the book of Acts, just as we see it happening here with Philip. Because there are so many people just beyond these walls who are asking that question: is there anything about me that would prevent me from being included? My guess is that you're here today because somebody along the way said to you, "You're included. You're welcome. Come on." But there are people in that condominium complex right here, going up and down the street of West End, sleeping on park benches in Centennial Park, right in the places where we live and work and shop, who are living with a deep loneliness and sense of unworthiness and rejection. But may we be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Philip was, so full of that love of God and grace that we can't help but include people and invite people in to the love and grace of God that we have been invited into. That's evangelism. That's our mission. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide.
Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide.
Sing with us.
Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide.
Amen. Let's remain standing. And continue to proclaim our faith and our mission in our affirmation of faith, found on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you, and you may indicate whether you would like those prayers to be shared or if they should remain confidential. And you can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we offer our sympathy to Sarah Stamps and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Norman Cooper Frost, who died Monday, April 23rd, in Atlanta, Georgia. Services will be held on Sunday, April 29th, at Sandy Springs Chapel in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Our prayers are also with Margie Hogshead and her family, who are mourning the death of her mother, Dolly W. Hogshead, who died April 25th in Birmingham, Alabama. Services will be held at Rideau's Trustville Chapel in Birmingham on Tuesday, May 1st. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of everlasting grace, we give thanks that we are able to gather in your presence this day. You are indeed the God who has created each of us, who reaches out to us in perfect love, and who draws us all into your circle of goodness and righteousness. Help us remember that nothing can separate us from your love, and strengthen our compassion for all of your children. Lord, we know in Jesus Christ, you have opened the way of life for all persons. In you, we find hope for deep peace and divine justice. We pray that the love which you offer to the whole world will shape it to be evermore as you would have it. Make us instruments of your peace, O Lord, and may we know that your Spirit moves most actively on the margins, in people and places we least expect. Help us remember that you are the God of the afflicted and the suffering, the forgotten and the abandoned, the persecuted and the misunderstood. We pray that you would lead us into an active faith that takes us to the margins, for we know that is where we will always find you. Spirit of life, invigorate us this morning. Enable us to be agents of your merciful love. Heal our communities, the ones we love, and ourselves. We pray that all who are in need of you this day would sense your living presence. Restore in us your image that we might know whose we are and who we are called to be. Uniting and transforming God, hear these prayers and our personal petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. And now, as your beloved children, we join our voices together in prayer, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Here, that helps. Last August, when I was up here, we talked about starting our 20th Habitat House, and we learned about Daniel Beach and her family. This morning, Daniel has a few words for us.
Good morning. I would like to thank you all for what you all did for me and my family. My children are so happy to be able to come home to our own house. And just thank you.
In September, we the church will start on our 21st house. And next Sunday's communion offering is dedicated to their Habitat build. We're dedicated to raising $30,000. So dig deep and to give often. Thank you. Thank you.
do this right here. Now, as a people gathered together around the table of God, let us offer our tithes and offerings to the work of that God in the world.
I would invite you all to be seated for just a moment. We have a wonderful opportunity to celebrate this morning. Many of you know Hannah Johnsrud, who's been singing in our choir for 4 years. Hannah came to West End on the first weekend of her freshman year at Vanderbilt and never left. And by the second week was singing in the choir and has been really active at Vanderbilt Wesley with Nancy and the students there. And the way that her faith has deepened and grown, she heard the calling of God to step out in mission and will be going to Jerusalem and the Gaza area, the West Bank, right where this story this morning took place, by the way, to be in ministry with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's Young Adults in the Global Mission Program. She's going to be walking alongside our brothers and sisters in the West Bank and teaching English at a Lutheran school and volunteering for a nonprofit. And this is incredible ministry that God is calling you to. And our congregation has been able to support her as she steps out in this mission. And we want to support her also with our prayers this morning. So I'm going to invite Hannah to kneel at the altar. And Nancy, who's been her pastor these years, is going to join me in a prayer together as we commission her for this work. Let us pray. Holy God, you have moved through your servant Hannah and whispered to her your calling to go to a new place, to a different land among new people, to allow the light of Christ to shine through her, to share your love, your message of inclusion, your compassion and ministry. So we pray for her as she goes, knowing that she will be blessed by those whom she meets, and they will be blessed by her, knowing that your Spirit will do among them something new, something wonderful and unexpected. So we send her forth with our prayers and our blessing, asking that you would guide her and keep her and sustain her every day with your love. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. And I think Hannah will probably be in the narthex after the service, because that's where the choir goes, if you want to give her a word of encouragement as she goes. And now let us stand and sing together our closing hymn. Now, my friends, may we go from this place to draw the circle ever wider, to announce to those we meet that they are loved and included, sometimes with our words, but always with our actions. And may we go in that peace. Amen.